Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is, Lord, to be a child of God. There's nothing like it in this world, to know You, to walk with You, to be able to rely and trust You with everything in our lives, knowing that You have our best in mind, that You are walking with us, that You know the past, the present, and the future, Lord, and You are working in our lives. Every detail, every hard circumstance, every trial we face, Lord, You're right there in the midst of it, and You're working out Your plans for our good. And Father, we thank You for that. Father, this morning, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Your word that is powerful and living. It is truth without error. It is Your word breathed out by You, Father, for us to grow and to lead us, to guide us. It lays out a plan for our life, Lord. So this morning, Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds would be open as we listen to Your word, Father. Move in our hearts, Lord. Have Your way in us, Lord, Father. May we respond with obedience, Father. We pray this in Your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Each week this month, we've been looking at a different aspect of the birth of Jesus, trying to grasp the gravity of what happened about 2,000 years ago on this day or yesterday. We looked at a passage on Christmas Eve about our response of worship. That should be the right response to the coming of Christ. And today we're going to look at the message that was given that night through an angel to the shepherds in the field. A message that describes who was born that night and placed in a simple manger. So we're going to read chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. This is of Luke. If you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you somewhere. Listen to what the angel said to the shepherds. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Here in this message are three different words that describe Jesus. He is Savior. He's our Savior. He is the Christ. And He is Lord. And if we don't fully understand who Jesus is, then we'll not fully understand what Christmas is all about. We definitely will not make Jesus the main focus of our Christmas celebration. So we're going to look at these in reverse order. We're going to first look at what it means for us that Jesus is Lord. The same word Lord here in this passage is used in the Bible to translate the name Jehovah, the everlasting God, the great I am. It's also used to translate Adonai, which means sovereign Lord and master. And so when the angel says that the baby Jesus is Lord, he's saying that Jesus is no mere man. He's no normal child. He is God Himself who has come in the flesh. He's like no other ever born on this planet. He cannot be compared to any other man because He is God. God makes it clear in the first chapter of John. So I want to read through this first 14 verses of John chapter 1. And here he speaks about Jesus using another one of His names, the Word. Listen to what he says here in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." What a wonderful passage Jesus, the Word, in the beginning was with God and is God, came in the flesh to dwell among us. He became like one of us. Jesus left the glories of heaven, being creator of all things, ruler, all-powerful God, and became like one of us. Paul explains this fact about Jesus even more in Colossians 1, 15 through 19. He says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus is everlasting God. He's creator of all things, having all authority, and He holds everything together. He's the head of the church. He's the head of this church. He's the head of His church, meaning He's in authority. He rules over us. He leads us. He is the risen Lord. He's in all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Him. As we said, we left the glories of heaven to be born in the flesh. He's fully man. He's fully God, something we cannot understand fully while living here on this earth. So when you see that little baby in the manger, when you think about Christmas, remember that Jesus is Lord. He is the one true God. There is no other hope for mankind but God Himself who came in the flesh. John also said that in Him was life. He came to die for us so that we may have life. What was your Christmas celebration like yesterday? Were you able to celebrate the importance of why Jesus came? The importance of who He is? Was the message or example that you gave to others around you clear for others to see that Jesus is sovereign Lord? And hopefully He is master of our lives. Secondly, we look at the name Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Now, Christ is the New Testament Greek word used for the Hebrew word Messiah. The Messiah was the promised Savior who was to come. A promise given back in Genesis 3:15. We looked at that about a month ago. And it was reinforced by hundreds of prophecies throughout the Bible. We looked at some this morning, and some of you did in your Sunday school lesson. In the very beginning, when man sinned against God, and sin corrupted this perfect world, and man brought in suffering and death and pain and all those things, it corrupted the world, this perfect world that God created. And God made a promise at the very beginning, and we looked at that. He made a promise in the very beginning to mankind. He would one day, through the offspring of Eve, send a deliverer, someone to restore man's broken relationship with God. From the very beginning, someone who would defeat Satan once and for all, someone who would pay the price for our sin, the sin of the world. God Himself came for us and paid that price. And we see one of those prophecies in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, God coming to us in the flesh, living among us. The angel Gabriel told Joseph the same thing in Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, the disciples followed Jesus because they knew He was the long-awaited Messiah. John says in John 1:41, he says, He first found His own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. The birth of Jesus was backed up by hundreds of prophecies foretold about the coming of Christ, some hundreds, some thousands of years before He was born. Now, these prophets told us in advance of, you know, how He would be born, the exact place He would be born, the power He would have, how He would die, be raised from the dead. All these prophecies came true in Jesus. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. What are the odds of that happening? To begin with, we look at some of these prophecies, like one in Micah wrote in 700 B.C., Micah 5:2, that out of the hundreds of cities, scores of nations in existence all over the world, in those days, it was designated that Bethlehem of Judea would be the birthplace of the Messiah. About the same time, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 7:14 that the child would be born of a virgin. We looked at that. A prophecy in Psalm 22 in about 1012 B.C., specified that the Messiah's hands and feet would be pierced. A clear reference to the death, to death by crucifixion. Yet, this was 800 years before the Romans ever instituted crucifixion as a form of capital punishment. Crucifixion didn't even exist then. Micah 3:1, penned about 425 B.C., specified that Messiah would be contemporary with the temple in Jerusalem, a temple that was destroyed in 70 A.D. and has never been rebuilt. And you can also compare Zechariah chapter 11, 11 through 13, written over 500 years before Christ, to Matthew 27, 3 through 10, written about 25 to 30 years after Christ, about Jesus being sold for 30 pieces of silver by Judas. A number of years ago, because the significance of this is astounding. A number of years ago, not too long ago, Peter Stoner and Robert Newman wrote a book titled Science Speaks. The book was based on the science of probability and vouched for by the American Scientific Affiliation. It sets up the odds of any one man in all of history fulfilling just 8 of these prophecies. The probability that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled just 8 of these prophecies. Now, the number is a 1 with 17 zeros. And to help you understand that, they gave a practical example of the odds. It would be like that particular number of silver dollars would cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet high. 2 feet high. And then in the midst of all that, there's one silver dollar that's marked with an X. And then you take some bulldozers and you just run through all those silver dollars. You blindfold one man, put him in the middle of Texas, and he's got to walk out in any direction and reach down and pick up that one marked silver dollar. That's the chances of just 8 of these prophecies being fulfilled in one person. And we're talking about hundreds. It's literally impossible. Yet it happened. And so when you think about Jesus being born in the manger, you must understand that this was thousands of years in the making. So many plans and so many details that God was sovereign over and made things happen in a certain way. And it's all backed up by hundreds of prophecies. Christmas is about the long-awaited greatest promise in history being fulfilled. God's gracious gift to us, the Messiah, was born and would now fulfill his mission. The promise given by God in the very beginning. A world created perfect by God through Adam and Eve's sin broke that relationship with God that they had. Everything was torn apart. Everything was broken because of that sin. Everything was corrupted and tarnished. There's pain, there's suffering and death. We see it today. It ruined this perfect world. We deal with all these things today. And when that happened, God gave that promise. In 2,000 years, about 2,000 years ago, God the Messiah came to fulfill his promise so that he could save his people from their sins. That leads us to the last one. Jesus is Lord, he's the Christ, and he is the Savior. There's so much more. When we think about the birth of Christ, when we think about him coming, these things need to cross our mind. We need to think about that, what that means for us. Is he Lord of our life? Can we imagine the expectation that should be in us, in our hearts, for the long-awaited Messiah who came and fulfilled his mission? Listen, I love how God revealed this message of the gospel to the shepherds first. That means good news. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That good news is a wonderful, wonderful thing that the whole world needs to hear about. Shepherds in that day were looked down on. They were the lowest on the social ladder. These were just normal, practical men who worked hard in the fields. They worked in the sacrificial system, and because of that, it made them unclean. They were kept away from the temple. Many of them represented the outcast in that day. Jesus was first revealed to the outcast. He came for sinners like you and I. As a sinner, we are all outcast. We are dead in our sins. God says we've all sinned. The sin of Adam and Eve has been passed down through every generation to us. We're born with this sinful nature. Just as Adam's punishment was death, God says that our punishment for our sin is eternal death. Romans 5:12 states, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. This is the reason for Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. Jesus is who is Lord, came himself, the promised Messiah, to be our Savior. This is what it's all about. Your little children are revelation receivers. They're listening for you to let them know, to cue them in, to help them understand who God is, what Jesus is all about. He is Lord. He's God. He's the great I Am who came in the flesh. It was promised. It was fulfilled. He's our Savior. He has come to save us from our sin. This is the reason. Came as a baby, born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life only to become the perfect blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. He took our sin and our punishment on himself. He died 3 days later. He rose from the grave. He defeated sin and death, and he lives to offer everyone, every nation, tribe, people, and language. There's no one excluded. He's offering everyone forgiveness of their sin, if, and it's a big if. And so we're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating Christ's coming. We might be celebrating that He is Lord, that He's the long-awaited Messiah who has come. He's fulfilled His mission. We have to share about His mission being fulfilled. We have to share about our Savior. People need to know. People need to know not just what He did, but that if we believe in Him, we believe in who He is and what He did for us, and we repent of our sin, we turn away from us being in control of our lives, and we turn to Him and we surrender our lives to Him. We ask His forgiveness. Lord, forgive me, for I've sinned against You. I know that You died. I believe You died and rose from the grave for me, and I'm surrendering my life to You. I want You to be in control now, no longer me in control. No longer me leading my life by my own terms. I'm going to follow You the rest of my days, and I'm going to live by Your terms in Your word. If we believe in Him and surrender to Him, we will be forgiven. He will make us whole. He will complete us. He will take away that stain of sin and replace it with His righteousness. He will give you eternal life. That's worth celebrating. Through Jesus, as we confess our sins, as we believe on Him, as we surrender to Him, we are adopted by God into His family. You become a child of God. And there's no better place to be. God will be your perfectly heavenly Father, one who never leaves you nor forsakes you, the one who created you and knows everything about you. Everything you're feeling, everything you face, He knows your hurts, your pains, your secrets, your struggles. He knows exactly what you need. And He is gracious and merciful. He knows your future, and He has these plans He said He prepared before you were even born, that you may walk in them. And He loves you with a love that you cannot comprehend. And He proved it by allowing His Son to die on the cross and pouring out His wrath, the wrath for our sin, on His Son, so that we might be saved, so that we might be forgiven. What a blessing. What a blessing. Christmas is about the greatest gift ever given, the gift of life. If you're here this morning or you're listening, have you received this free gift of salvation, of forgiveness? Are you a child of God? Do you want to be a child of God? Do you want to know peace that is everlasting? Do you want to know joy that is inexpressible? Do you want to know purpose that reaches far beyond this life? Do you want that? What God is trying to give you, or wants and desires to give you? You must receive it. You can't work for it. You can't work your way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. You can't work your way to heaven. It's only through Christ. You can't earn it. I don't care how many good deeds or how good a person you may think you are. Before God, who is holy, we are filthy rags. We have no good merit that will gain us heaven. Only the merit of Christ and His work on the cross will give us life. And just like we do with our gifts that we give each other for Christmas, you don't work for those. You don't earn them. You just receive them. You just receive this wonderful gift. And as you receive that truth, as you believe on Him, surrender your life to Him, He forgives you. And He not only does that, He not only gives you eternal life, He comes to live in you and He empowers you to live this life, to overcome the fear and the hurt and the pain and the trials and the struggles that we all face in this life. He's there with you, empowering you from within to live through that, to give you something that is so glorious it cannot be compared to anything you may go through in this life. There's nothing like heaven. There's nothing like being in the presence of God. That's what God is offering us. So when we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate His birth and we give gifts and we gather with family and we love on one another, is He your Lord? That's who He is. Is He master of your life? Or are you still holding on to some part of your life that you don't want to let go? You want to kind of keep one foot over here, and you want to kind of have a little bit of what God's offering. You can't do that. You can't have both. Is He master of your life? Maybe this Christmas is a time where you're going to let go and you're going to allow Him to be master of your life. He's going to lead you. You're going to let Him. You're going to allow Him to come in and lead your life. See, your Messiah, the long-awaited promise that was fulfilled. Do you believe in Him? Do you believe in His promises? Do you realize that God never forsakes a promise? He always keeps His promises. And you can trust Him. And maybe you don't trust Him like you should because you don't know Him well enough. And maybe that's the issue. Maybe you just haven't given of your time. You haven't spent good time with Him and you don't know Him well enough. That's the way in any relationship. You don't know a person well enough, you don't trust him. So maybe you need to get to know Him better so that your trust in Him is sure and strong. And most importantly, is He your Savior? And do other people around you know this is what Christmas is really about? It's about our Savior. It's about God coming to save us. As the worship team comes, I want you to remember what Christmas is all about. Don't let materialism and the world's philosophies overshadow the main reason we celebrate Christmas. And just because we celebrated Christmas yesterday doesn't mean we stop celebrating. Hopefully this celebration, this understanding of who Christ is and why He came and what He did in your life, hopefully this drives you to be His witness throughout this year. Come January, we're going to begin to prepare ourselves to be His witness, to build relationships and share His truth. That's what this year is going to be about. Building relationships and sharing His truth. And we need to be prepared to do that. And hopefully this celebration of Christ will give us a stronger zeal and spiritual fervor to serve the Lord this year in this way. To go out of our way, out of our comfort zone, to build better relationships with people. To overcome our fear. To be prepared and equipped to share His truth that will set them free. Let's go to the Lord this morning and let's just let Him have His way in your heart this morning. May He be Lord, master of your life. May you trust and believe in His promises. And if you don't know Him, you can come talk to me, or you can pray wherever you are, here, online, wherever you are, in your home, confessing your sin before God, believing on Him, repenting of that sin, asking His forgiveness, and surrendering your Lord to Him, surrendering your life to Him, so that He is Lord of your life. Let God have His way in you this morning.